Hey guys, we're back at it again, Attack the Attack 360 podcast. And I just want to say thank you to everybody who's following, listening, and sharing the podcast. Without you guys, this isn't possible. All right, so let's get to this. I just want to say I'm sorry for not really being consistent for this past few weeks on the podcast. Again, a lot of things are going on, right? A lot of things are happening. So what I am going to say is this. I'm going to try and every week try and do it on a Friday or Saturday morning, do the podcast. So as of right now, we're Saturday morning, November 19th. Good morning. So yeah, during the weeks is getting kind of hard. You know, I'm getting real busy at work, and then after work, constantly doing things. I'm training my niece on self-defense now after work, and then I'm going over to Southtown Judo to finish and get my black belt over there. And I really appreciate Coach Patrick for taking me in and allowing me to train over there and work over there, especially when I have a busy schedule. And I'm try to go in at least twice a week. If not, I'm trying to go once a week over there and just train. You know, I know it's going to take me a really long time to finish, but hey, you know what? It doesn't matter. I still enjoy it. I still enjoy the rolling, the throwing, the grappling, everything about it, learning new techniques. And it's fun, you know. Of course, it's sport, right? So that's going to be more or less around the topic today. And at the same time, I also want to give a shout out to In Balance Studios at Alamo Ranch. And the reason being is because over there, every Saturday, like today, between 11:15 a.m. and 1 p.m., I am teaching a women's self-defense 90-minute class. And we're going to be doing all kinds of stuff, right? We're the first 4 weeks, we're doing standing escapes when someone grabs you, grabs your wrist, chokes you, standing choke, grabs you from behind. And then the next 4 weeks, we're going to do ground stuff to where how to escape when your attacker takes you down to the ground. And then the next 4 weeks, we're going to go over everything as a weapon, how to use a weapon, and how to defend yourself with a small weapon, meaning like a puncturing tool, a stabbing tool, a slashing tool, a blunt force tool. Again, a weapon is just an extension of your body, and weapons don't hurt people. It's the people that know how to use the weapon that hurt people. Okay, so if you're going to defend yourself with a weapon, that's what you're doing. You're defending yourself, and when you do that, you're protecting yourself. So that's what I'm teaching at Alamo Ranch Studios in the Alamo Ranch area off of 1604 and Access Road between Culebra and I can't remember that other street, but it's right around there. I'll get the address here in a minute at the end of the podcast. So yes, every Saturday I'm teaching over there between 11:15 and 1 p.m. So if you're in the San Antonio, Texas area and you want to come and take a self-defense class, your first class is free. Come on out and train and learn a little something. And if you really enjoy it, we work something out there at the studio to where you be coming every Saturday. And it'll be great. It'll be fun. Okay. So yeah, there's a lot going on, right? I'm being torn all over the place. So yes, gonna move the podcast dates to either Friday evening or Saturday morning. And we'll go along the subject there. So the subject today is basically sport, right? One thing that I'm learning when I'm doing judo class is that it's just like any grappling art, right? You know, if you're learning wrestling, you're actually going to competitions and doing tournaments. If you do jiu-jitsu, and another way to help you move up faster or develop your rank faster, is going to tournaments and competing, and you know, if you win, you get certain points. If you place in the top three, you get certain points, and so forth. And if you don't, then you don't, right? But at least you have the experience of grappling other competitors. Same thing with judo. With judo, you do the same thing. You're grappling, or you're not necessarily grappling, but you're doing throws. If you get stuck in a stalemate to where you're just holding each other and you're not throwing, then you can get points taken away or you can get disqualified. There's a whole bunch of rules that I'm still learning. And but it's interesting, because can sport be applicable to real life or self-defense? Yes, there is. You can, right? The only difference between the two is that there's rules. There's rules in sports. So, in other words, certain belt levels, you're not allowed to do certain techniques, or you're not allowed to do certain leg locks or arm bars or takedowns or chokes. You know, there's in every type of style of martial arts, like I said, whether it's in wrestling, jiu-jitsu, or judo, especially in the grappling arts, there's a lot of rules. Why? Because of injuries, right? But when you apply that to self-defense, the rules go out the window. And that's because you're protecting yourself from an attacker, right? It's just like point sparring in other styles of martial arts, when you're doing karate tournaments, when you're doing basically standing martial arts, any type of style, they all get, like taekwondo, Hapkido, Goju-Ryu, traditional karate, and you know, there's all these other styles that do tournaments, and they're different styles of standing martial arts, and they all compete, but yet some of them have point sparring, which is, I don't want to compare it to playing tag, but it's whoever the first one gets a good hit, and the judge will call it, and then they'll, you know, the person will get a point once they make contact, right? The only difference is that you can't get hit in the face, or you can't hit the groin, right? You get points taken away. If you hit the back, you get points taken away, or you don't get a point. excuse me. But yet in real life situation, when you're defending yourself, you're going to hit in the groin, you're going to hit in the face, you're going to do a throat punch. You know, if you get a chance to where you turn your opponent around and you're able to hit in the back area, you know, back of the neck, along the spine, in the kidney area, in the rib area, there's no rules in self-defense. You're going to do whatever it takes to protect yourself. But the thing is that when you go and you learn martial arts, when you learn any traditional martial arts or MMA gyms or any grappling art, yes, you're going to be learning all kinds of things. And if you go into the competition world, you're going to be limited because you're training not to hit certain areas. Okay? You're still going to compete. You're going to, do what you need to do to win that trophy or win that medal. And yes, it sharpens your skills because it makes you think a lot more how to accumulate those points, or you know, more tactical or more strategic on how to score your points to win that match. In self-defense, if you apply that sport, and this is, it's going to be kind of, how can I explain this? When you apply sport into an actual self-defense situation, you already got your strategic plan planned out, right? You already got at least five or six moves that you can do. The only difference is that you know in a self-defense situation, you're going to kick the groin. You're going to punch the throat. You're going to punch the face, right? You're going to do a grab and take them down hard as you can and not worry about it. If you end up doing a leg lock, or if you kick the leg to where, let's just say straight forward, like a straight forward kick and straight to the knee, either to make them trip or maybe break that knee. Stomp on the ankle, right? Those are stuff that's not allowed in point sparring and tournament style, but in self-defense, again, rules go out the window because you're protecting yourself, okay? When you're protecting yourself, everything goes out the window. You're there to break away from that attack and go get help, or attack that attack and then go get help. That's all there is to it. You're not going toe-to-toe. Like I tell guys, I had this conversation at the end of judo class with some of the guys there, and we got to talking. He was telling me that, and I'm not going to mention a name because. And so the conversation we were having is that he was telling me, he goes, hey, you know, I had to find a style of martial art that would allow me to do things that I can do at work, because hey, he's a, you know, correctional officer, right? Or he works at a detention center. And so while doing that, judo is perfect, right, for that, because number one, he's got control over his opponent. Number two, he's taking him down and getting into another controlled position, right? But at the same time, he's learning sport in judo, and he's able to apply that in his work without him getting in trouble, right? Even though he's defending himself, he's able to do it. Now, the conversation led up to where, okay, we're going up against people who, you know, that haven't had any training in martial arts or any combative art. So applying that, applying the sport part of it, and especially in a jiu-jitsu or judo techniques, works, right? Because you're going one-on-one or maybe two-on-one, but you're able to execute your techniques good and without really damaging your opponent. Now, if it's a different scenario, as in maybe they do know some type of martial art, or maybe they do know some type of combative art, right? But yet it's not in a control setting. You don't know what's going to happen, right? So you end up changing up your technique a little bit different. And that's the mindset, right? That's part of the mindset. I'm not saying that if you go and you learn jiu-jitsu or judo or wrestling or sambo or any traditional martial art, I'm not saying that because they're doing tournaments, it's not applicable for self-defense. What I'm saying is it's the mindset that you have to change while doing self-defense, because you're not going to go toe-to-toe with your opponent. I know I sound like a broken record when I've mentioned this on other podcasts, but you have to understand that the reason why I repeat myself on saying this part is because that's the only way people will understand. And new listeners, if you're listening, you know, again, I appreciate, you know, you guys coming on and listening, but that's the whole concept of self-defense. Self-defense is where you have no choice but to defend yourself. But once you get into a control or break away from your attacker, you go get help, especially women. Okay, a woman's not going to go toe-to-toe with a guy. It's just, to me, that's just stupid. That's pointless. I don't care how much training they have. I don't care if they are a black belt in jiu-jitsu. I don't care if they're a black belt in judo, right? I don't care if they're a black belt in martial arts. It's in a control setting. and there's rules. And when you're doing actual self-defense, you need to change that mindset to just break away and go get help, not stay there going toe-to-toe. A 1-2 minute round, a 5 minute round, you're not going to be there going around forever. You know, I've known women that are black belts that tried that in a non-control situation or who was in a domestic relationship and they were just overpowered and abused. So you have to understand that when it comes to self-defense, especially for women, you break away, you do whatever you need to do to break away from your attacker and go get help. Learning the sport end of it is good because it builds up confidence, it builds up technique. You're learning something. You're learning how to take care of yourself. It still can be applied as self-defense. But when you're actually doing self-defense, your mindset has to change. You have to do whatever it takes, whatever the rules are, you have to break them, right? Hitting the groin, hitting the throat, poke an eye out, rip the ears off, right? Do whatever it takes to break away from your attacker. And when doing that, don't stay there. Go get help. Run, right? That's for women. Now for guys, I would say the same thing, right? But guys are guys. They're gonna go toe to toe. They're gonna do that, do whatever it takes to do that, you know, knockout punch or take your opponent down to the ground and beat the hell out of them on the ground. But keep this in mind, that when you do that, you create more problems for yourself. Meaning that, you know, if you don't get the help that you need, you get arrested. Guess what? You get taken in. Then you have to pay the bond to get out, or someone does, right? Or you just stay in there until, you know, they release you. Then you have to go to court. Then you have to get a lawyer. Then you have to justify why you did what you did. Remember, laws in different states vary in self-defense, especially here in Texas, right? And there's an episode where I talked with a lawyer. If you defend yourself, you can only defend yourself with that same force that's being applied to you. If someone punches you, you will only punch back one time. You don't do two hits, right? It sucks. It's different. Or if you're able to block that punch, then you have to get your opponent into a controlled position, or you maneuver to where you take your opponent down, but you have to go get help or put them in a controlled position till help comes. That's the only way you can apply self-defense to defend yourself to where you don't have the law come after you or you get in trouble. It's hard, I know, it sucks. And especially with guys and the testosterone and something to prove, yes, we want to smash our opponent down and take them down to the ground, and that would be the last time they ever think about taking me on or taking anybody on. I understand that. But we do what we have to do. If you don't treat your opponent it's like if you don't smash your opponent, that makes you a better person, right? If you know that you can take them, if you know that you can overcome that situation and get into a control situation to where you don't get in trouble, hey, that's great. That's awesome. That's perfect. But if you have no choice but to take your opponent down, and if they have other people around them that's willing to back them up and come at you, or other attackers that just have that intent to just hurt you, then you know what? You have to do what you have to do. If it's a smash, you know, you ground and smash, and then you have to deal with the consequence afterwards. You have to deal with that aftermath. But you have to make sure that you're in the right and that you're defending yourself. So keep that in mind, okay? When it comes to self-defense, you have a lot going on. No rules. Do what you need to do to break away. Go get help. But if you do too much, you can get in trouble. You know, if you smash your opponent and you beat them to a pulp and they're in the hospital and they can't, you know, they can file suit on you. You can get more in trouble. So it's a really, there's all these things that you got to really think about. And you think about this, like me, for instance, right? How often am I going to get into an altercation? I hope I don't get into any more altercations in my life. In the past, yeah, I got into a few. Who didn't, right? And either, you know, you at the end of it, you know, you didn't get in trouble. No one got hurt, you know, badly hurt, and you're able to go off on your own and take care of your shit, and what's done is done. Or you get in trouble and you deal with the outcome, you know. And yes, I've had that experience where I was able to walk away and what, you know, what's done was done. And then I also got in trouble and had to deal with the aftermath, you know. So you have to think about it. Is it really worth it when you get into an altercation with somebody? And I'm just talking to guys here, right? Is it worth it? Are you able to walk away? Are you able to talk down that situation? If not, whatever training you do, even if it's point sparring, are you able to change the rules, the mindset, and break away from your attacker? Are you able to do that? Women, applying the techniques that you use, whether it's a sport combative art or if you're actually doing a self-defense art, if you apply those techniques, are you still able to break away and go get help? Are you able to have that mindset to where, okay, this is what I need to do, and not freeze, right? Not be stuck, not be that deer in the headlights. When I say that, and a lot of people, I've got that comment, it's like, what is that? People don't understand that. Okay, when a deer goes out into the road and they're just there and the car is coming and it's nighttime, the deer only sees the headlights. They freeze. They don't move. And then they get hit by that car. Or sometimes they will move. Or sometimes they end up going the wrong way and still get hit because they freeze. They don't move. So when I say don't be a deer in the headlights, that's meaning don't freeze. Automatically react to the situation. Take off running, scream, yell. If you're trapped, do a quick technique, break away, go get help. If someone attacks you and they're attacking you, defend yourself at all costs, but don't stay there toe to toe. Don't stay there frozen and being attacked. Do something, okay? So there's a difference. And the difference is when it comes to sport and self-defense, it's the mindset. And at the same time, there's no rules. You do what you need to do to put your opponent down or your attacker down or control that situation and then get help. That's all there is to it. Okay. Now, you know, me teaching on Saturdays, women's self-defense classes, having a conversation with Monica, the owner at Imbalance Studios, she even said it's really important for women to know a little something. And even if it's just one technique, right, that would help you break away from your attacker. It's true. Yeah, it's like I tell the students, right? It's like when I tell people, even my personal, when I'm doing my personal training, my teaching, it's simple, right? Are you afraid of your opponent like for instance, tournament wise, okay, sport wise, would I be afraid of an opponent who's practiced one kick 1,000 times? Or am I going to be afraid of the person who knows multiple techniques that he's only practiced a few times? In reality, I would be afraid to go up against the person who's practiced that one technique 1,000 times. Why? Because that's his go-to move. That's the one move that will take me out. Okay? Versus, I go up against someone who knows multiple techniques and he's only practiced them a few times. Right? So, when I'm teaching women self-defense, trust me, I got about, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 techniques. But guess what? I'm going to go over those techniques over and over and over again. Because why? I want it to become a reaction for the women that are learning self-defense to where they just automatically react and it becomes second nature. I want them to practice those techniques over 1,000 times because it becomes a reaction. Okay? And that's what we want. That's what we want to do. I constantly work hand techniques. I constantly work short bursting techniques. Why? Because for me, that's applicable. I don't want to go toe-to-toe with somebody. You know, I'm at the age to where, like, I was even asked, hey, you want to do judo competitions? No, I don't. Why? Just because, number one, I'm the breadwinner, right, of my family. If I get hurt and I can't go to work, I don't get paid, right? And I'm not getting paid on the podcast. I don't have sponsors or anything like that, right? This is more of me releasing information and having fun and sharing everything out there with you guys. And I enjoy it and I love it. So if I get hurt, then I have to fall back onto something that allows me to try and heal, try to, you know, pay my bills, do whatever it takes. Am I still able to do the podcast? Sure, because, you know, it's my voice is not getting hurt. If I go and teach self-defense and I have a broken arm, or sprained wrist, or I'm limping because, you know, I hyperextended my knee, or I got injured, my ankle got injured. Am I still able to teach? I have to do it verbally and slowly, but I'm not going to be able to be 100% teaching, if that makes sense. And if I go do my job, you know, it's like I turn wrenches and all day, you know what I mean? And I'm on my feet all day, and I'm there working with patients or assisting working with patients. It just, you know, it makes it harder for me to go to my actual job. So no, I don't want to do tournaments. I don't want to have that risk on getting injured because I have to work, right? Same thing when it applies to self-defense. I'm not going to go toe-to-toe with someone. I'm going to do quick burst of energy, quick burst techniques to help me break away from my attacker or put my attacker down real quick and get into a controlled position so I can get help. If I'm dealing with multiple attackers, I'm going to take off running. But if I have no choice and I'm trapped, I'm going to put them down really quick. I'm going to do whatever it takes. And rules go out the window. At the end of the day, it's about me not being hurt, me surviving my attack, and to live another day. And that's the difference between sport and self-defense. Okay? Sport, I just don't want to get hurt. Because I've already been hurt several times. And I've already competed and I'm already done with that. Would I like to do it? Yeah, if I know that I was going to still be able to be at my job, yes, I wouldn't mind. But there's that risk of me not attending my job, and so therefore I don't want to do it. And if you think about competition for me, right? For me, I'm speaking on my half. If I was to go to competition, that's like every weekend or every other weekend or maybe once or twice a month. you know, versus when am I ever going to have to use self-defense on me, right? When am I going to have to protect myself, you know? Once a year, once every 2-3 years, you don't know when it's going to happen. It's just going to happen. But I'd rather use that energy on protecting myself than burning it out every time in a competition. And that's just me. That's just my mindset. Now, I've had friends that want to compete. And hey, you know what? Go for it. Compete. You enjoy it. You love it. Do it. Right? Which is great. But at the same time, different strokes for different folks. People are different. People don't want to compete. People want to compete. People don't really want to have to defend themselves, but they have to defend themselves. The conversation I had with Monica over there at Imbalance was, you know, she really feels that some women, or not some, all women need to learn some type of combative art to protect themselves. But you cannot have that mindset that, oh, I'll be okay. You know, I'm not going to get, that's never going to happen to me. You can't have that mindset. It's never going to happen to me. I'm never going to be attacked. Or my husband will take care of me. But the times that you're alone, what are you going to do? You know? And again, yeah, you're right. It may not happen to you. It may never happen to you. But you never know. And there's some women that say that, and yet they've gotten attacked. They've gotten hurt. You know, there's this, the one episode I did a while back, or actually a year ago. Self-defense saved her life. She was just, the young woman was just doing her thing. And she was in an area of town to where she went over to go to a store, and, you know, she was getting some snacks and whatever, and on her way back to her car, she didn't see no one around her car, and she was right there in front of the store, not parked far away. She was in a lighted area. Yeah, it was dark, it was nighttime, but she was still in a bright lighted area. She was parked right in front of the store, and she was being carjacked. The attacker came out of nowhere and just, hey, give me your car. He had a gun. Yes, she took self-defense, right? Yes, she did training in Krav Maga. You know, she made it a point. Yeah, here's my keys. My car's there. You know, it's a key fob. The kid didn't understand that it was a key fob. He was still wanting a key. And she kept explaining, here, that's all you need. It's a push start. Take the car. And then when he got tried to get a little physical, she defended herself. But she still got shot. She got shot in the face. And she was still able to use whatever energy and adrenaline she had to get up and run into the store to get help. And she survived. And she's still telling her story to this day on the news and other networks and you know, telling her story of survival. You know, telling that whatever she had to do to survive, yes, she took her opponent down. And in the process of taking her opponent down, she got shot. But she was still able to break away and go get help. And you never know when you're going to need it. Women, ladies, you never know. And just because you say it may not happen to you, or it's never going to happen to you, you'll never know. And just like us, like guys, you never know when you're going to need it unless you're out there looking for it. And guys have that tendency. They go out, we drink, someone's looking at us the wrong way. Hey, whatever, F you, F this, not going to deal with you. What the fuck are you looking at? I said the word. But, you know, it's like you get into that conversation. Oh, no one's going to tell me what to do. No one's going to tell me this. Why, you know, like you start getting to that, you know, macho mentality. And you know what? That doesn't work. That's just looking for trouble. That's just causing more trouble. You got to be cool and lightheaded and not give a shit. right? If someone's talking shit to you, you know what? Forget it. If it's not bothering you, don't let it bother you. Let them talk. I had an instructor at one time. He had told me, he goes, you know, you can call me any name in the book. You can call my mother any name in the book. You can even tell shit to my wife or my girlfriend. I don't care. But as soon as you put your hands on me, or you put your hands on my wife or my girlfriend, I'm going to take you out. And he was like that. He didn't care. He was going to put you down to the ground. He was going to smash you down to the ground. And then just walk away. Right? So, you know, if you don't let words or people talk shit, don't let it bother you. It's whatever. As soon as they put their hands on you, it's a whole different story. And I'm talking to the guys. Women, same thing. So what? Words are words. As soon as they put their hands on you, defend yourself. But do it to where you break away from your attack and go get help. It's just changing the mindset from sport to self-defense. And there's nothing wrong with learning sport to defend yourself. All you have to do is change the mindset from rules to no rules. From doing certain techniques to where no techniques, you're just going to smash your opponent, but yet break away and get help. Okay? And that's the best way I can describe it, right? And I wish I can say that we live in that world to where we don't have to worry about things, but we do. And things are getting worse out there. I mean, it's no matter how much I'm saying, hey, be careful, hey, protect yourself, hey, I'm repeating myself over and over again on the podcast on you need to defend yourself and break away and go get help. I mean, guess what? I'm going to keep doing it. And I hope that something snaps with you guys and you share it and you pass it along. Next week is Thanksgiving. Guys, be careful and be safe out there if you're going to do any traveling. At the same time, if you're going to do shopping, please don't get crazy. Please don't be fighting over stuff. If you're out there at the stores, just get your stuff. Just get whatever gift. And if they don't have it, find an alternative. You know what? Do online shopping. Okay? So please be careful out there. Now, I may not do an episode next week. I'm still tossed up in the air. I don't know if I'm going to be going out of town or not, or just staying home and smoking a turkey myself here at the house. But all in all, if you guys don't hear from me next week, the following week, around December, I'll have another episode out. So again, I'm trying to do it to where I'm going to move the date to Friday evenings or Saturday mornings to do the podcast. And at the same time, again, try and just continue trucking on. All right. Again, it's Saturday morning. I got to get ready to head out and go teach women's self-defense at Alamo Ranch Studio. Okay. And the address is, hold on just a minute, In Balance Alamo Ranch at 6626 West Loop, 1604 North. It's right on the access road, and it's the building number 212, okay? Building or suite number 212. And please, you know, ladies, if you're listening, if you're in the San Antonio area, I know if you're on the north side or the east side of town, and I know that Alamo Ranch is a long distance for you guys to drive, but hey, come on out. Free first class is free. If you guys are close to the area, come on out. Let's do some training. Again, you want to learn breakaway attacks and then go get help, right? Again, if you practice it over 1,000 times, it becomes second nature, right? It becomes a reaction. You're able to do it and go get help. All right, guys. Again, I want to give a shout out to Southtown Judo. Really enjoy training there. Really enjoy learning from all the coaches that come there. And then at the same time, the students, right? The other judoka students that are there, I enjoy working with you guys and learning more from you guys as well. Having a good time at Southtown Judo when I'm able to get there, either twice a week or once a week. Whatever it is, whenever I'm there, I enjoy it. All right, and a big shout out to Coach Patrick. Really good. I hope he's safe on his travels and he'll be back. You know, I know that he'll be back soon and it'll be fun. All right, guys. Again, be safe, be blessed, and watch your 360. I'm out.